This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Well, good afternoon, Australia, Melbourne and the world. This is Detours with Jody and Greg, your travel experiential show that's been on air with Jody in the hot seat for 14 years. And I'm one of those relative new ones. I'm Greg.
Hello, Greg. I'm Jody. Well, we make it sound like I'm really old, but in fact, sort of I am. I'm turning 40 tomorrow. It's quite a milestone.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Yes, it is exciting. And I've got friends and family coming from all around Australia. I've got friends from overseas who have sent great messages already. And it should be a lot of fun.
And roaming around your 40th birthday will be a microphone, because I'm going to be capturing some sound about people's travel experiences with Jody Wilmot.
Okay, I'm giving you some little, you know, stickers about the people who you're not permitted to talk to, because they're going to tell stories.
I've lined up your dad already. Yeah. I'm talking to Rex. Rex has been a guest on our show before as well. Rex Wilmot. We liked his travel tips about how to develop camper vans and how to take photography around outback Australia. So if you're listening, Rex, look forward to catching up tomorrow, and we'll get some more sneaky sound bites of the reporter.
If you've just joined the show, this is Detours here on Joy 94.9. The time now is 7 minutes past 12. Special thanks to Matt for the news, and special thanks as well to Saturday Magazine. Coming up after one is Pete Dillon from Cravings. And on our show today, on the Detours Travel Show here on Joy, we're delighted to introduce our special guest, who's Imogen Lamport, who's here to help us learn a whole bunch of really amazing things about how to travel and pack lightly and look fabulous. So welcome to the program.
Thanks.
And so, Imogen, how did you actually get into, or what is it you describe what you do?
Well, I run an image consulting business, which means that I help people find the clothes that suit them best, that express who they are, their authentic self on the outside. And I like to save them lots of time and money by not buying stuff that doesn't work. So, and create a really useful and usable wardrobe for whatever their lifestyle is. And I kind of got into the packing thing because I actually spent my image consulting days, I actually spent 6 years doing publicity at Penguin Books and travelling a lot. I was always on and off planes. And one of the things you discover when you have to go through Sydney Airport a lot is the taxi queue. And you always want to be first out for the taxi queue, otherwise you have to wait. So if you're waiting for luggage, that can take a lot of extra time up. And so I started developing ways of packing really lightly so that I could go away for 5 days, 10 days, however many it was, but I didn't need to take luggage with me. And so it was something that I kind of developed through experience. And then my image consulting's actually come into it with, you know, some other techniques to use to make it more effective.
Yeah, so true, though, because often the challenges aren't just about, you know, where you want to go for your trip or why you need to travel, but then, you know, that sort of cumbersome waiting for your luggage to come off the carousel drives me crazy. What about you, Greg?
I'm with you. It's not just the carousel. It's actually packing light to get on the plane. It's the first part of the journey, isn't it, when you load your baggage up. These days with online check-ins, you can actually check in and go straight through without having to put your bag on, and that saves a bit of time, I think. And if you're lucky, if you've got good staff, in terms of seat allocations, if there's a chance of being moved to a different seat or upgraded or given a window seat instead, that can give you a bit of an advantage over other people, which is not bad. Imogen, do you hang around shopping centres watching to see how people buy and all the tragedies and mistakes they make and think, well, I can do that different? Or, you know, where do you get your ideas?
Well, I don't actually just hang around at shopping centres. Don't loiter. But I do go to supermarkets and think there are a lot of people who need help. I'm just standing in the checkout queue usually. But the reality is I understand that people don't know what I know, and there's a science behind what I do that can be taught. And I actually have a blog which I write, which I share lots and lots of tips on how to, you know, dress yourself more effectively, mix and match colours, do all sorts of things that just make life easier. Because I just, to me, it's all about kind of, if you understand the how and the why, it's very easy to replicate. So, you know, I certainly don't spend my time, you know, looking at people and thinking how terrible they are.
But you must see the occasional fashion tragedy that just goes wham. You know,
we all do. But what's actually quite interesting is often I'll be out with a client in a shopping centre and they'll point the person out to me because I'm actually too busy looking in the shop windows trying to see if there's something, you know, that's good for them. They'll be looking at the people going, did you see that person?
So just walk us through, if you wouldn't mind, Imogen, how the sort of services work. I mean, would you describe yourself as a pay friend? So, you know, somebody pays you to sort of hang out with them and, you know, just go shopping and go and have coffee? Or
you're making me sound like a prostitute.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, but you're very well dressed.
Not at all.
High class. No, look, I mean, you know, I love my clients. They're wonderful people and I love spending time with them and I love helping them. So, you know, I'm quite happy to be paid to go and shop with people. And very often my clients don't actually want people to know that I'm a stylist. They would rather people just thought that I am either a friend or relative, especially with some of my older clients who I'm just their daughter for the day or a friend for the day who happens to have a good sense of style that they feel comfortable with, because I give completely objective advice. There's no benefit in it for me for people to buy something because the shop assistant says it looks good, you know. So they know that I'll say, yes, that's good, or take that off because that, you know. And the reality is garments aren't made for you in particular. You know, they didn't take my body shape and my measurements and then go and make all the clothes in all the stores for me. They've got a very arbitrary set of standards which don't relate to any person in particular. And so we have to kind of understand that when we go into stores, it's not about you. It's, you know, that there's nothing wrong with you. The clothes don't necessarily suit your body and we're all different. So our expectation that everything's going to fit us and look great on us is actually completely ludicrous. And that's something that I think at least if people understand that, you're halfway to actually feeling a bit better about yourself. And I'm really interested in people having a good body image and self-image, because I think there's so many digitally manipulated images we see in society.
So true.
That completely screw with how we perceive ourselves, that, you know, anything I can do to make people feel better is, you know, good. I think it's good. And people say that they'll feel a lot better afterwards and they feel more confident, and that's really what I'm after.
And when I use the word pay friend, I thought I should just explain what I meant by that, because for me that's also about a trusted confidant, somebody who, you know, can confidentially, trustingly, honestly, nurturing, sort of help people through things. So it could be a psychologist, it could be someone who queer eyes your lounge room. So, you know, it's a suite of professionals who have a range of skills.
Thank you, Jodie.
Now, you're listening to Jodie and Greg and our guest Imogen, and we're talking about style and travel and fashion and travel. When we come back, I'm going to ask Imogen a little bit about, has there been anything from any of the people she's worked with to style that she's picked up to incorporate in her own fashion sense and style?
It's the perfect mix of music, news and interviews. It's the world's most uplifting station. Joy 94.9. Become a Joy member so we can give you the best shows every day. Call 1300-JOY-949.
And you're listening to Detours here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg. This is the travel show and we're with you right up till 1 o'clock today. Time now is 18 minutes past 12.
And it's been ages since I've heard My Friend the Chocolate Cake. What beautiful music. What was that song called?
Well, Imogen, you're a girl after my own heart. I love My Friend the Chocolate Cake. Can you pronounce that song for us?
Absolutely. It's Aberystwyth, which is a small town in the middle of Wales. And I actually lived 10 miles north of Aberystwyth in a little village called Chrynwstyd for about 6 months. And I worked in Aberystwyth. There's a university there, so it's quite a well-known Welsh town.
And what took you there?
It was love, but it didn't work.
Oh.
But that's okay. I got to learn how to say, you know, please and thank you and no road markings. So
no road markings?
Well, when you drive around Wales, there's not many of the white lines actually bothered to be you know, drawn on the road, so they have a lot of signs saying "Dim Markio 4th," which means no road marking. So,
like Melbourne and our super tram stop that's taken 4 months to build, the sign saying "Tram stop coming."
Yes, that's right. And we're speaking at the moment with Imogen Lamport, who has a blog called Inside Outside Blog. com, and we're talking about image, clothing, packing for travel. And so what sort of advice do you have for people when they're planning their trip in terms of what to pack and how?
Okay, number one, we want to think about fabrics that travel well. So things that don't crush too well. So usually that means some sort of synthetic content to the fibre. Now, I know some people have real issues with any sort of things that are in synthetics and make them sweat. So if you're one of those people, sorry, you're going to have to do some ironing. But for the rest of us who can handle a bit of synthetic, a bit of polyester or a bit of lycra, elastane can make all the difference between how much ironing you need to do with your clothing. Then the number two thing I do is, and this is what I often pack for people, I have quite a few clients actually go and pack their bags before they go away. I will look for a colour scheme. I want to make it as easy as possible and I want everything to mix and match. So I'll go and I'll look in their wardrobe. So for everybody it's different. I'm not going to say, you know, it's one colour scheme because everybody's got different wardrobes. So I'll go, look through their wardrobe and I'll find a colour scheme. And of course I'll have looked at the weather of where they're going. I'll have found out what they're doing. Because if, you know, things like if you're going to a European city where you're going to walk over a lot of cobblestones, well, comfortable shoes are really, really important. But I also will look for the lightest comfortable shoe that they own. Things like that.
Lightest or sturdiest, but light?
Light, yeah, because anything heavy, particularly if you're walking all day, can actually start to make you feel tired. But also, too, is when you're packing, you want to make sure that things have, you know, they're light rather than heavy. So some of our shoes are much heavier than others. So I'll look for something that's got both the comfort and being lightweight as possible, too. And sometimes that might be something that's worth buying, you know, if you don't have it, if you're going to do those sort of activities. So it's about what activities you're doing, creating a bit of a plan, knowing what you're doing. You don't have to be planned down to the, you know, nth degree, and I don't travel that way myself, but having some sort of ideas and then just looking in your wardrobe going, well, generally I'll take two neutrals and two or three, you know, maybe three or four colours, depending on how long you're going for. So, but you want those colours all to work together and you want them all to go with the neutrals. So once you've kind of worked that out, it's then very easy. You can say, I can wear that top with that bottom. I recently packed for a friend who was going away for 6 weeks to Europe. And they were doing lots of, you know, sightseeing and various things like that. A few dinners out, a few going to the theatre, different things they were doing. And we managed to get her luggage 7 kilos.
Wow.
She weighed it at the end. Now, I took photographs. I like to take photographs of all the different outfits, and especially these days with things like iPhones and iPads and, you know, all those sorts of things, where you can have your photos and you can scroll through them. So what I do is I take photos. So she can sit there and go, what am I going to wear today? And I've taken a photo of all the clothes, and she goes, oh, I could wear that one. And so to feel like you're wearing something different. So, and we made something like 100 different outfits out of the probably 15 or 20 garments that we ended up packing at most. But out of about 12 garments, you can easily make 30 outfits. So what you're looking for is maximum versatility in your wardrobe.
You know what that says to me, to boys, it's much easier for us to travel. We don't need the 30 outfits, although some gay men change 30 times in a day.
So. Well, as you were saying, though, I mean, I remember being a tour guide and doing a meet and greet at Melbourne Airport, and there was a group of gay and lesbian travellers who were coming from New Zealand to Melbourne, and then they're off to Mardi Gras. My God, the luggage that these guys had from the US, they had at least 40 kilos each, and they kept wearing the same outfit every day, and I kept saying, you've just got Levi's and probably a G-string and a white T-shirt. I mean, what else have you got in those suitcases? Of course, they had these fabulous outfits for Mardi Gras, but they had to carry it with them. Yes. Depends what you're doing, I guess.
It does, yeah. So you've always got to work back to, you know, what your lifestyle is.
Yeah, what do you do if your traveller that you're supporting is colourblind? I mean, I'm colourblind. Okay. What can you do for me?
Yeah. I didn't realise that.
Look at my nice brown shoes. Now, you can't see it, listeners, but I have really nice, beautiful brown shoes on today.
They're green.
Well, one of the things you can do for colourblind, and you can just do this as a whole, is A, get some help to start with so that you know what you buy all works together. And then B, you can label clothes. So you can have shirts A, B, C, D, E, and they go with, you know, jackets 1, 2, 3 and pants 4, 5 and 6. So you can have a little spreadsheet which you can create and you can know what goes with what. So you'll need help from someone who's not colourblind to make sure everything works. But once you've got your spreadsheet and your wardrobe organised, it's very easy then to go back to it and go, well, I know this goes with that because somebody told me that it does. So that can work quite well.
Now, I've needed Imogen in the past. I've been shopping overseas, and the person saw me coming and said, yes, these match, these look gorgeous together. And I've gone out looking like a freak show.
So I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. I've been shopping with you when in that particular shop where you're buying really nice woolen jumpers. And you picked 3 or 4 colours. Now, he picked them in the shop. It wasn't you.
He did pick them.
Yeah, but they suited you.
So when you're travelling, I mean, there's also the aspect of unpacking and then packing again. But unpacking is a part that, how do you unpack into a hotel room so that you can access your stuff in the right way and your fabrics are not crinkled and wrecked?
It all depends on how you pack and what you're actually travelling with, what sort of bag you're actually travelling with. So people who travel with backpacks need to roll. It's a very different sort of packing than someone who's travelling with a suitcase. And the reality with backpacks and things like that is generally you want the most access stuff on the top and the least access on the bottom because you're not going to unpack the whole thing every time, are you? With a suitcase, you want to put some heavy items down the bottom. I personally prefer what I call flat packing, which is making as few folds as possible. So I will lay everything out as flat as possible. I tend to find I get many less wrinkles that way. And I'm really quite careful when I'm packing it that I'll, you know, smooth all the wrinkles out. I might do buttons up on things just so that it sits really flat. And then I fold in the arms or up the bottom. And I find that that keeps things fairly wrinkle-free. And then you can actually then pull it out and put it onto a hanger in the, you know, and I'm always ringing up the concierge going, give me more hangers, bring another 20.
Yeah, those ones in hotels really annoy me that you've got to unhook them as if you're going to take them with you. I mean, you know.
Steal the hangers.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But alongside those hangers in the wardrobes of hotels are irons. And hotel irons aren't the best things, are they?
They never are particularly good, which is why, as much as possible, you try and pack, you know, fibres that don't need as much packing. So, and hanging things does make a difference. I tend to find if you get somewhere and then hang everything rather than leave it all lying on top of each other, you will find it needs less ironing. There is a little technique you can use where you use, if you've got something that's particularly wrinkle easily, you can actually put dry cleaning bags can be quite helpful, or tissue paper can be quite helpful to stop things from wrinkling because they stop things from sliding around in your case quite so much. So
would that work with like cashmere jumpers or linen? Yes. Linen shirts maybe.
Yeah, I think look, linen's always going to need ironing and it always looks crushed 2 minutes after you've put on something. Yeah. I wouldn't be travelling with that unless it's your look.
Now Imogen of course is our guest today, and Imogen's talking about style, fashion, travel, clothing, all those things that either make or break, I think, some of our holidays, don't they?
Well, they sure do, and especially when there's extra charges for extra baggage now, I think it's more even more important to economise on what you need to take and make sure that you're not being charged excess baggage, but also that making sure you've got the right things for the right experience. And that's certainly something I've been thinking about a lot as you've been speaking.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I was once, I like to catch public transport when I travel, and I was once, and this is back in the 90s when the IRA used to do a lot of bomb threats in London, and I'd got down, I think it was King's Cross Station, which was like 7 stories underground, and not all of those stories had, you know, there was no elevators, and some of them had the escalators and some didn't. Got down to the bottom with my 30 kilo suitcase, and then off goes the alarm, and everybody's fleeing up these stairs, 7 stories or whatever it was, insane, and I'm there dragging my case upstairs, you know, one step at a time and just wishing I didn't have so much stuff. And that was one of those things where I went, I'm never travelling again. You've got to be able to lift your luggage.
Absolutely. Often when I'm looking for holidays and I often think about how am I going to get from the airport to the hotel, and if I'm doing a group tour, where does that go from? But the key thing is, you're right, you have to be able to carry your luggage. I think it's absolutely crazy where people are lugging so much around that they then have to get, you know, a porter or something out the railway station. I mean, yes, it creates employment, that's a different issue, but why carry so much stuff when you've got to schlep it around when you can have, and I carry international carry-on size bag, which is a rolly suitcase that can also convert into a backpack, and I got that for the India trip and it's been fantastic. But one thing I learnt was different airlines have different kilo limits for carry-on luggage. So you have to actually check that first before you choose which airline you're going to go with. Because one that I chose only had 5 kilos versus my colleague who went and they had 7 kilos. That 2 kilos makes a difference.
Huge difference. The tip is always look like it's really light. If you ever have got luggage and you're doing carry-on and you know it's over limit, don't tell anyone I'm telling you this. I always carry it like it's really light. And then they, because if you're walking around through the airport dragging your luggage, the staff will notice and they'll make you go and weigh it. But if you just look like it's really light, you generally don't get asked.
You heard it here on Joy 94.9.
Now, Imogen, one question, because we're going to play some more of your beautiful music, but one last question. How do you possibly take a giant case overseas that you want to fill up with largesse purchasing it overseas and only have a small amount of items and keep them intact inside that giant case while you're travelling out?
You can actually get those blow-up plastic, they're not like bubble wrap, but for packing goods. And you can always, you know, basically or blow up a whole lot of Ziploc bags, chuck them in, and then at the other end, throw them out.
Ah, brilliant. I hadn't thought about that. Brilliant. Saves buying the 19th different case coming back into Australia, doesn't it?
Exactly. What's your theory, though, about those space bags or vacuum bags where people put things in and suck the air out? I mean, is that worthwhile?
Well, isn't that more for storage under people's beds? I'm always worried. Like, the things I've seen that people do that, they end up wrinkling things almost permanently. It is not my idea of storing your stuff. Because I mean, I had a leather jacket that came back from the UK on a freight, and it was 3 months on the ship. And the way the people packed it, it actually got a wrinkle. I could never get the wrinkles out of it. So I am very wary about those sorts of things.
Are you a Virgo by any chance?
No, I'm not.
Okay, yeah. I was just thinking, you know, my ex-girlfriend was a Virgo. She was really good at ironing. Yeah.
I'm not good at ironing.
So if you're listening, you're good at ironing out there.
Stay with us right to 1 o'clock. This is Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg. Our special guest is Imogen Lamport. Stay with us.
Listen to us right around the nation. Joy 94.9. I've been around.
We've been around the world and nothing gets us excited like Detours on Joy 94.9.
And that's a beautiful track called Under the Milky Way by Straw People here on Joy 94.9. This is Detours. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg. It is now 23 minutes to one. We've had some SMSs and emails.
We have, and you can join in too. It's 0427JOY949. That's 0427569949, just as Amber has done. Now, Amber, I'm going to out you here. Amber is the president of WIN FM radio station out there in out west, and we thank you for listening to Detours. We'd love to listen to your show, but we just can't get the aerial high enough. But Amber does a show on Mondays on WIN FM, and she says, awesome tips on Detours today. Cheers and thanks, Amber. She was our program support back in the South Melbourne days.
Oh my gosh, hello Amber.
Well done, Amber.
And also we had another message there from one of our other listeners, and I think we sort of covered that before and this is from this is a great topic, best clothing not having to iron. So you were saying before, Imogen, it's about synthetics, if you can cope.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. Our special guest today is Imogen Lamport, and she has a great blog called InsideOutsideStyleBlog.com. And we're talking about clothing, fashion, travel, and feeling fabulous, and looking fabulous.
Where did it start, Imogen? How did you get this bent for fashion and style travel?
Well, growing up, my parents came from a generation and a background where clothing was very unimportant, provided you were presentable, as in, you know, nothing was torn or ripped or, you know, but it wasn't ever about style. And it was, as far as they were concerned, if you cared about what you wore, then you were shallow. And they still don't really get what I do. They're starting to actually get some sort of understanding. But I have what I call a non-manufacturing standard body.
A non-manufacturing standard body.
Yeah, so okay. Manufacturing standards do not suit my body shape.
So and you're not off the rack.
I'm not off the rack.
Okay.
And the reality is if most other people aren't either. But it was one of those things I discovered when I was 16, and this is going to give you a little idea about how old I am. It was the 80s, and pinafores were in. And I remember going to try on a pinafore in Myer or something at the time that my friend was wearing. I remember thinking, oh, she looks really good. And we're about the same height and about the same size as when we talk about size 10, 12, whatever. And I remember going to try it on, and I thought, I look atrocious. And I remember thinking, it was the first time I ever thought, why does it work for her, but it doesn't work for me? There's got to be a reason. And so that actually was what led me into the discovering the science of why things do and don't work. And it's all about illusion, line, design, texture, sheen. There's all sorts of elements that go into it. And so that was kind of my starting point. And then I used to sew my clothes because my parents wouldn't buy me any. I used to go babysitting, make a bit of money, go down to, you know, the haberdashers, buy a remnant here and there and make something. And after you've spent hours making a piece of clothing and then it looks terrible, you really go, well, I don't want to make those mistakes again, so I need to understand what it is about my shape that makes something work or not work. And you know, women are very good at berating themselves. I was once in a jeans shop, and it was a unisex jeans shop, and I'm trying on some jeans and having a mental conversation saying, you know, you need to lay off the pies and, you know, all sorts of mental stuff. And then I can hear a man in the change room next to me saying, honey, there's something wrong with these jeans. Go and get me something else. And I thought, he's right and I'm wrong. There's nothing wrong with me.
Maybe
there's
you need
something
to swap,
wrong with the clothes.
Swap jeans. You should yes. be wearing his and he should be wearing yours.
Yeah. So, well, that's the thing is, maybe something else would actually work. So it was really about a process of discovery and about why things worked. And I have a certain body shape that, you know, I want to minimise some things so that people don't notice. And so I learned how to do that. I learned the science. And there's also, you asked me earlier about if I was influenced by anybody else's style. And I'm not influenced per se by somebody else. But I've actually come to understand that there's a really strong correlation between your personality and the clothes you choose. So who you are, how you describe yourself as a person, and whether or not you actually choose natural fibres, or you don't like wool, or you don't iron, or you do iron, or you want to wear silk, or you want to wear buttoned up shirts, or you want to wear only knits, or everything has to be comfortable, or if you'll tot around in the highest heel possible. There's all sorts of things, and they actually come back to personality.
Then why, with the traveller, do we have our style, our sense, our fashion, we have it at home, and so many travellers, straight, gay, lesbian, whatever, get it so wrong when they go to a foreign destination?
Well, I think part of it is they think nobody's ever going to see them again, so do they really care? So it probably brings out their worst side. I always like to travel and look like I'm fitting in to where I go. I find everywhere I go, people always ask me directions. So
oh
I think I must
gosh.
Look like a local. I think that's always a...
I have the same thing. I actually put that on a job application for the, in the tourism industry and I got the job.
But I think it's... Yeah, so, I mean, what I never... Always amazed me. I lived in London for a short while, quite close to Madame Tussauds. And so my Baker Street, which is where is the tube station right there. And so you'd always be passing lots of American tourists and they'd always be wearing their matching leisure suits. And I never got it. It's like, what is it about travelling that people think they have to wear matching jackets or matching clothes? You'd always see these couples, whatever sort of couple, but in these matching clothes.
And they're not even interchangeable. It's not like, I'll wear that top, you wear the bottom and switcheroo.
No. Was always matching outfits. And I thought, what is it about travel that makes you think, what, you'll find yourself across a crowded wherever in my matching clothes? I don't know. But I think it's because partly, I don't know, you're out of your normal environment. People you know aren't seeing you. You might not care as much. You know, and it might be about being easy, or it might be that you've packed the wrong thing, so you end up just wearing the same thing over and over and over because that's the one thing that actually you feel comfortable in whatever environment you're in.
I think it also, Imogen, has a lot to do with the budget you're travelling on.
Yes.
Because I remember my very first trip overseas to the UK where I had very little money and the Australian dollar was woeful and everything was really expensive. And I went with one suitcase and it wasn't that I smartly packed, it's just I didn't have a lot of money and a lot of clothes. And, you know, you end up still being clean, but having to recycle things over and over. What advice, Imogen, would you give for a male who's self-conscious, who is looking for travel clothes to go to Italy, who's a uni student? We've got a listener who's just SMS'd that question.
Okay, I would think about packing more in neutrals than lots of colours. So, you know, might be choosing grey or black or brown or one of those sorts of neutrals and pack most of your clothes in those neutrals. People don't notice neutrals. You don't stand out in neutrals. So particularly if you're self-conscious and you don't want to be the centre of attention, then, you know, more neutrals. It might be worthwhile even having a look online, doing a bit of a search around what people are wearing in Italy currently, if you want to not stand out. There's so many blogs and things these days that you can, that people photograph themselves in their style and or street style and all that sort of stuff, that you can really find out what people are wearing all over the world quite easily. Italians tend to be, you know, they consider themselves stylish dressers on the whole. And in fact, most of them, I remember going over to Florence and doing some work over there, and I asked, you know, something, one of the locals, and he said, oh, we pay rent our entire lives, so we have great wardrobes. So, but yeah, but if you travel in neutrals, and that's where you get the maximum amount of, you know, kind of wear, because nobody notices you're wearing the same thing all the time, and you can very easily just keep recycling the clothes, and they don't stand out, and you don't have to worry that things don't go together.
Hmm, very good. I'll tell you though, in gay community, one thing people do, if you wear the same shoes or you wear the same item on your clothes, the same belt, there will be someone in gay community that points it out to you and tells you, oh, you've worn that belt each week for the last 3 weeks, or, you know, every Wednesday you wear that belt.
Really?
Yeah, too right. This is gay community. Is it the same overseas? Would people have the same sensibilities about clothing, the same cultural sensitivities that perhaps we have in gay community here? Would that translate, do you reckon, to overseas?
Well, look, I think all communities have the same thing. But the reality is when you're travelling, you're not in that community for so long, so that they don't get to know your wardrobe in the way that the people you work with. I mean, I've had clients who, honestly, they've had Monday, Wednesday and Friday in their work clothes. And I say, do people know what day of the week it is by what you're wearing? And so...
I remember when I went to the UK, my mum sent a care package for Christmas, and it was those 7 day a week undies, you know, with the names of the week, which was gorgeous.
Oh, good heavens. So you're on Detours, and Imogen has joined Jody and myself here on Detours every Saturday, 12 noon. We also have a blog that goes up, a Facebook blog. We also have a podcast that goes up weekly. You can check out joy.org.au/podcasts and hear back shows of Detours.
Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Detours here on Joy 94.9. This is a great Saturday.
And that's talking marvellous. And get fresh from selling Big Issues on the street last night in the city of Melbourne, or the night before last.
Oh, it's Pete Dillon. I didn't sell Big Issues. I told you. Couldn't sell the Big Issue. I did the CEO sleeper. And I raised deal of money for charity and for homelessness. I'm very proud of myself, and your messages didn't help.
I sent $5 down in the cab asking for a Big Issue at 11 o'clock at night.
We spent that on Pinot Noir. We weren't supposed to have booze there, but we sort of collected whatever people sent and went and got a bottle of wine.
Well, congratulations for connecting to homelessness in Melbourne. And
something's very close to my heart.
It's a very important issue. So
yes, and I posted on Facebook a greeting to you and Chris Buckingham from Destination Melbourne.
Yes, who I didn't oddly enough didn't run into.
Well, I'll introduce you some other time when you're not in a sleeping
next
bag.
To him at dinner a couple of weeks ago.
I know. Let's talk about food. What's coming up on Cravings?
We're talking about an event coming up in this week for the Melbourne Fringe Food Festival called Where the Wild Things Are. Wild boar, wild caught hare, all that sort of fun stuff. Also talking about the Put Victoria on Your Table roast collection, which is happening all over Victoria. There's the Pig Day Out that we're going to talk about, which is going to be good fun.
Did you say Pig?
The Pig Day Out, yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I'd heard that correctly.
Nick Stock's coming into the studio to join me to talk about wine lens and sort of wines for these events and wines that we can be drinking in winter. So it's going to be sort of a very warming little hour of food and beverage.
Now, I have a challenge for you.
Yeah.
I would like you to do a program on people with gluten tolerances and where to go for fabulous food.
Right.
And I'd like you to do one on halal food.
Well, can we broaden it out and just do all manner of intolerances?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Nuts, yeah, dairy, nuts, lactose, dairy, fructose. All that sort of stuff, you can roll it into one. Would you do that for me?
And I'll certainly, halal is another good option. I will do that.
Fabulous.
Sounds good. That's Pete Dillon.
In a couple of weeks.
Cravings comes up at one after Matt with the news, so stay tuned after Detours. But our guest today has been Imogen. Thank you, Imogen, for coming in and playing with Jodie and myself.
That's right. And we've had another couple of SMSs that's going wild and crazy here, and somebody asked, is that your real name? And yes, it is. And Imogen can be stalked online at InsideOutsideStyleBlog.com. That great track was one of that Imogen chose, which is Robbie Williams, who has got fabulous style. Entertain you.
I did actually see him in concert at Wembley Stadium when I was in London, and he was lots of good fun.
Yes, I can imagine.
Now, look, I've got to indulge now. What tips for men that don't have hair on their heads like me and, you know, might wear glasses? What can you do about style for people like us in terms of travel, what we should wear when we're travelling, what we should wear back at home?
Well, it depends where you're going, but, you know, always protect your head. If you're going somewhere hot, you don't want to get it burnt. Very uncomfortable. So hats. So you can be very stylish, Don Draper. Mad Men and with your hats, you know, I mean, gorgeous.
I think I'm going to have to go and have a week with you, Imogen, and we can do some styling of Gregoire.
Well, you don't need a week. It's just a couple of hours to queer eye your wardrobe and life, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I'm quite happy. However long you like, you know.
Now, we've also had a message from Grant from Essendon who said, when I went to Europe over last Christmas, he dressed very simply, couple of pairs of jeans, one big warm jacket, and then he bought some small items over there and he still looked stylish, he thinks. And he wasn't carrying 100 kilos of luggage.
Yeah. I think
well
I
done,
find,
Grant.
Yeah, particularly if you're going to European countries where they do actually heat in winter, you'll find that you actually want like something like a pair of jeans, a knit top of some sort. Then you want a good coat, because usually what then happens, the minute you walk inside somewhere, it's really hot and you have to strip off. And there's nothing worse than you get on the tube and you think you're going to actually, you know, vomit from the heat and stuff. So all those kind of, in Australia, we tend to probably put on more jumpers and things that you tend not to need as much when you're in Europe, just because they do heat much more than we do. So I found it was like, and a great stylish coat. Now, when you go to Italy, you can buy yourself, if you're a guy, some really gorgeous coats and things. You know, a great stylish coat makes any outfit look good.
So what would you be looking for in a stylish coat if you're shopping in Italy?
Well, I'd be looking for a great quality fabric. That's always number one. Something like a coat, it's more of an investment piece. It's going to last for quite some time. Look for a colour that you love that's not too fashion, because you want it to last. Something that will go with a lot of what you wear. So cashmere or cashmere wool combinations can be really good. And then, you know, well-cut, well-fitting. Really, everybody looks great in clothes that fit. Mm. It doesn't matter how expensive it is. If it doesn't fit, it won't look good on you. So really, fit is one of your number one criteria for looking great.
And that's something I've definitely learnt from you, because when Imogen and I went shopping and I was trying on jeans.
Hang on. The secret's out.
The secret's out.
The secret's out.
I know. Okay. It's true. And I, you know, we picked a couple of different styles and she said, you know, Imogen said, try these on. And I said, oh, no, they're going to be way too small. I'm not going to fit into them. She said, they're going to fit you fine. Try them on. Sure enough, they fitted really, really well and they look really great. And I thought, oh, I would have actually bought the next size up, because I'm used to buying things that don't fit me.
But that's so true. I've always been a 33, sometimes in fatter days, 34, when I was really fat, 36 jeans days. But a mate of mine took me shopping a year ago and he said, don't put the 33s on here, put some 32s on. And I've been back in 32s ever since. Can you believe it? We have this sense that we're actually bigger than we really are sometimes.
Yes, that's really common, and especially when we get older, when we actually start feeling that comfort is the most important criteria. And when we're young, we might put up with a bit of discomfort, but as we get older, we're more likely to get more comfort-driven. And I always think one of the kind of aspects of personality style with comfort is it's a bit like, you know, a block of apartments. That you can have a really attractive block, like, say, Eureka Tower, or you can have a housing commission. And when your main driver in life is comfort, you can end up looking like housing commission. And so you've got to be really careful and actually looking at clothes and saying, are they still in good condition? Do they actually fit me? Because when you're very comfort driven, you're more likely to just go up the size and it might be a bit loose and then it's baggy and saggy and it doesn't look like it's made for you. So never be as stylish. Now, too tight isn't great either. It's just getting the right fit. And sometimes we need to make some alterations to actually make things fit.
I have to get everything altered. Yes. I mean, from lengthwise of things, yes, because of my height. Not that I'm so tall, it's because I'm short. But I think there's lots of tips and hints you've given our listeners today, which has been fantastic. We've had fantastic listener interaction with SMSs and emails. And if people want more information, they can go to your blog, which is insideoutsideblog.com for more information on Imogen Lambert's hints and tips. What about travel? Have you got anything specific on the blog or...?
I do have some travel tips, so there's a category called travel on there, but I also have an ebook that I've written that you can download from my blog, which is insideoutsidestyleblog.com, just to get that right. Mind you, if you just Google Imogen, you'll find me. Yeah, so I've got an ebook and it's got lots and lots of tips of how to pack, how to put things together, and all those sorts of things, and some packing lists.
Well, thanks so much for joining us here on Detours. It's been fabulous, Jody, hasn't it? And we'll see everyone back next week listening to Detours on joy.org.au or live on Joy 94.9.
Coming up shortly will be the news. Stay tuned for Cravings at One. Thanks for joining us.
Get more of the fresh new sounds from around the world.
Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.